It is. Very good afternoon. It is Niall Boylan. If you are watching us now, you're watching on the website, of course. We've changed the way we're doing things slightly, by the way. We did put up a comment earlier on Twitter telling people, and only one person actually replied to the comment by saying, money, 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 you poxy sellouts or something like that. Here, hold on for a second. We've been doing this for a year and a half for free every single day. You can still watch it for free. You can still listen for free on Spotify or iTunes or whatever it is later on. It's just if you want to watch it live, just to pay the bills, all we've asked people to do is to drive people to the website. And there is another reason for that as well. And I'll tell you the other reason. Last night, you may have watched the Donald Trump interview with Elon Musk. 121 million people have watched it. 21 million people watched it live. But when it got to 110,000, they had what they called a DDoS attack. Now, as you know, the EU commissioner, digital commissioner, had sent a letter to Elon Musk earlier in the day, basically telling him to censor the interview. Now, I am looking further down the road, and we have to future-proof the podcast we do every single day. And the reason we have to do that is because there is a possibility in the very near future, the way things are heading at the moment with Keir Starmer and Simon Harris and the EU, that Twitter could be restricted from the European Union. That is a very strong possibility. And we have to future-proof this show to make sure that we have people going to our website. There's nothing they can do about our website. They can't take that down. Well, maybe they could try. I suppose Google could try and do something to it. But anyway, they can't take that down. So we're driving people to the website. It's €2 a month is all we're asking. As I said, you can still watch it for free. You can still listen for free on the website. But we're just asking you to support us by paying €2 a month just to watch the show each and every day. We do believe that we bring, on a regular basis, at least 3 to 4 good shows a week where you can openly discuss, uncensored, any issues and the issues of the day, be it about immigration, be it about free speech, be it about the government. And today we're going to be talking about education. So let's move on with today's conversation. Don't forget, if you want to get involved at any stage, you can. The number quite simply is 085 100 2255. That's 085 100 2255. Now, the Higher Minister wants to see an end to single-sex schools, stating society would be better with co-educational models of learning. Now, raising concerns around the increasing aggression and gender-based violence, Patrick O'Donovan stressed the importance of the educational integration from a young age. The 2022-2023 voluntary secondary school enrolment suggests that 33% of students attend all-girls schools, 26% attend all-boys schools, and 41% attend co-educational or mixed-setting schools. Now, the number of single-sex schools at primary level has always been significantly lower, with rural schools tending to be more mixed, and that's because of population, of course, and availability of education. There are around 228 all-boys or all-girl primary schools compared to 2,900 that are mixed. If the first time, he goes on to say, if the first time you come in contact with somebody from the opposite gender, I like the way he used gender, by the way, and not sex. Have you noticed that? They're all starting to do this now. Let's use the word gender. It sounds more politically correct. Anyway, and he said the first time you have contact with somebody of the opposite gender in your education journey is your first day in university or at Freshers Week. That is absolutely crazy, Mr. O'Donovan said. I think we should be doing more around education integration. We should be encouraging it. I definitely think we should be offering incentives and encouragement for education integration. On top of this, he would be seeking for further funding towards the awareness and prevention of gender-based violence on third-level education campuses. Now, look, the evidence shows, and this is just the evidence from around the world, that children perform better in single-sex schools and they get better grades on average than those in mixed schools. The average attainment, 8 score, for pupils in state-funded single-sex schools was 59 last year compared to 46.3 for pupils in mixed schools. An Australian study also found in 2017 that after accounting for socioeconomic status, students in single-sex schools did outperform their co-ed counterparts in reading and numeracy. The downside, of course, is that children don't get used to working with the opposite sex, and this can be a disadvantage, as Patrick Wright points out. Also, girls' single-sex schools have had a reputation for higher levels of bullying for very unknown reasons. So which do you think are better? Is it single-sex schools or mixed education schools? One man who has a little bit of an issue in the way that Patrick O'Donovan, the Minister for Higher Education, has worded this and linked it to gender-based violence or aggression is Eric Nelligan, spokesperson for AIM2 and also a school teacher himself. Eric, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Neil. Thanks for having me on.
Eric, okay, let's deal first of all with you took issue with this article in the Irish Examiner and what Patrick O'Donovan, the Minister for Higher Education, said, or the way he linked, I suppose, aggression or gender-based violence and, you know, mixed or single-sex schools. What was the issue that you had?
Well, first of all, it's not just Patrick Donovan. I'm not sure if your listeners are aware, or even if you're aware, the Labour Party have put a bill in the Dáil a year and a half ago that basically said that day one single-sex schools phase out for primary schools within 10 years and for secondary schools within 15 years.
I do remember having an interview with Éan O'Riordan going back about 3 years ago on radio where he actually hung up on me on the air because I didn't agree with him. But yes, I do remember that. Yeah.
And one of the points that the Labour Party make, and one of the points that Patrick O'Donovan, the Minister for Higher Education, made yesterday, is they're linking gender-based violence, they're linking aggression, and they're linking it to single-sex schools. And he, like Minister O'Donovan said that society would be better with a co-educational model. And then in the next sentence, he goes, he has concerns about increasing aggression and gender-based violence. And then he wants
can I be a little impartial in relation to this? If I go back to the Belfast case, I'm sure we all remember that, the Belfast rape trial going back, must be 4 or 5 years ago now, probably more actually COVID. I lose 2 years of my life thinking about COVID all the time. But the WhatsApp group messages that went around. Mm. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, look, you know, lads can be lads, as they say, right?
Yeah.
And those WhatsApp group messages, that sort of behaviour tends to happen more, say, in private boys' schools. This kind of locker room talk, I suppose. And they would say it's disrespectful to women or this misogynistic kind of attitude. Yeah. Do you think that could be the case, particularly when you get to, say, third-level education or later in second-level education, where boys can be boys and boys can be a little bit more, I suppose, open with each other in relation to the way they speak about girls?
Look, that was a horrific case. And I presume we're talking about the boys involved in the Irish rugby case.
Yes.
People that mightn't quite remember. That was a horrific case. And let's be honest, there are men, and especially young men, and there are young women as well, but mainly men, who have inappropriate and regressive views on the opposite sex. That they exist. But to link them to single-sex schools, I think, is not accurate. So let's put some data on this. So Ireland has a high rate of single-sex schools compared to the EU average. We were the second highest in the EU average. Malta is the only country that has more single-sex schools. But Ireland has the lowest rate of homicide and femicide in the EU. So the second highest rate of single-sex schools, the lowest rate of violence against women. So straight away, that blows Mr. Donovan's and Éan O'Riordan's argument out of the water. In fact, over the whole world, Ireland is the 11th lowest rate of violence against women in the whole world, and this is according to the United Nations. Also, the World Health Organization, an organization that has its critics, they have a whole section on gender-based violence and domestic violence on their website. They list 16 significant categories that affect violence against women, and not one of them states single-sex schools. They put there's alcohol, there's addiction to alcohol, there's your upbringing, they even mention your religion. There is issues like that are all linked to gender-based violence, but nothing has mentioned about schools. So they are seeing problem in society, and instead of actively trying to solve the problem, they are going, let's hit someone that we disagree with on an illogical basis, someone who we don't agree with, let's hit single-sex schools, because many single-sex schools are linked to the Catholic Church, and it's an easy stick to beat someone, to blame someone else rather than let's solve the problems that
What about the argument he makes, which is a fair argument, that the first place that your children interact with members of the opposite sex would be Freshers' Week going to university or college if you've been in single-sex schools all your life? There's no doubt, by the way, the evidence points that single-sex schools perform better, and that evidence is across the world. It's not just here in Ireland. So, but what about that argument? You know, okay, you know, let's have a little bit of a sacrifice in relation to academia, and so at least people can interact better. I mean, if you're used to seeing boys, like my stepdaughter, she's 15 years of age, she's used to seeing boys. She gets on very well with boys. They're not treated like members of the opposite sex as such. They're just treated like mates. Whereas, you know, when I was in school, we were very excited by the fact that we'd see a girl. I mean, I remember when I was in the De La Salle College in Raheny, I was in secondary school. They only introduced mixed education in my last year in school. And the first thing that we all did, you know, as fifth and sixth years, we're looking at girls. We only had one female school teacher who probably wasn't the most attractive woman in the world, but to us, it was a woman. The hormones were going. So what I'm saying is, that first interaction, if we, you know, get people used to working together, boys and girls, is that not a better system?
Look, I'm not the one to disagree. There are pros and cons to both types of education system. But again, let's be factual here. And I know I'm focusing a lot on the facts at the moment, but I'm doing this because the Minister for Higher Education, who is heavily involved in the Department of Education, has said something that I fundamentally agree with. So let's go back to what you said in your introduction. You said, and these are the figures I have as well, in Ireland, there are almost 3,000 mixed primary schools, 2,900 and something, and there are 228 single-sex primary schools. So that's a ratio of 9 to 1, 10 to 1. Okay? So, however, again, going back to the data you gave us at the start, 60% of secondary school students attend single-sex schools. So what's happening there is, and again, another key point is, only 30% of actual physical schools are single-sex. So what we are seeing is a whole heap of parents, in fact, an awful lot of parents, have put their children through a mixed primary school setting where they interact with girls. So this kind of slightly negates the point you were making there a minute ago. And then they're deciding, for educational purposes, they are then sending them to single-sex secondary schools. So that's a vast
But would it not be fair to suggest, compared to my day, when there used to be a boys and girls school in every housing estate, right? When I was a kid, there was boys and girls schools, primary schools in every housing estate, but that's all changed now. Would it not be a case of that, particularly when you're outside of Dublin, out in rural Ireland in particular, the reason that we have so many mixed schools as primary schools rather than single-sex schools is out of population and demand? In other words, you can't have two schools in a small town. It just doesn't work. So you only have one.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so that's the only reason you're doing it. So in other words, what I'm saying is, it's not out. You're saying that they're once they're finished in primary schools, parents are choosing or making a choice to go to single-sex schools. Maybe just that's the first time they've had that choice.
Yeah, exactly. It's the first time they had the choice and they're taking up. And we got to remember as well, in most rural towns across the country, most towns would only have one school, so they will have a single or a mixed school. And in AN2, we are not against mixed schools, so please don't take this as an attack on mixed education. We are not. What we, as a political party, our philosophy is give parents the choice. So what we have is we have a lot of people, and especially people in political parties and who have levers of power, they are actively trying to close single-sex schools. And what we are saying is, let single-sex schools thrive, because most single-sex schools are thriving. Let's give parents the choice if they want. We totally understand that demographics will mean that in a lot of the country, especially in rural areas, having multiple schools is not an option. But so in those situations, one school, one mixed school is the best way to go. But in larger towns and larger cities...
Let's look at the other aspect of it. As a school teacher yourself, as well as being a spokesperson for AIM2, you're also a school teacher. You know, I've heard this suggestion that boys and girls learn differently, and that boys have to be told things a lot more than girls. Girls seem to take information in quicker than boys. We have to kind of repeat information to boys rather than to girls. Is that true? Do boys and girls, do they learn differently?
This is a gross generalization, but in general, the answer is yes. So what I would say that in general, girls are far better. They're verbally far better. They read an awful lot more. They're far more mature. If you put a 15-year-old girl in a maturity stakes up against a 15-year-old boy, there's a world of a difference.
So there's kind of linear versus modular, I suppose.
Yeah. Girls are exceptionally organized. You know, if you watch one of those high school documentaries or dramas or something, you see girls walk around with folders and everything neatly clipped in together and tabs, all the different stuff.
Where boys have everything just stuffed into their bags.
Oh, as a teacher in the second school, I can guarantee you give a hand. I don't give handouts to boys unless I really have to, because half of them would be left behind on the desk or stuffed into a bag that we'll never see again. So there are differences, but then boys have strengths too. So what I would say is, a lot of boys are excellent at pulling something out of the bag. So they're excellent at last minute cramming. They're excellent at having not maybe applied themselves over the course of a 2-year, 3-year cycle. And next thing, really applying themselves at the end. They pick things up faster. Boys are more likely to gamble on something and bluff and take their chance. While a lot of girls need to know, they need to be fully aware of something before working. So generally what you see with a girl will get a broadly similar results the whole way through school. If she's intelligent or if she's weak, depending what standard she's at, she would get maybe broadly the same result the whole way through, while boys are more likely to go up to the 80s and down to the 20s, depending on
which would you prefer to teach harder work. As a school teacher, is it easier for you to teach, I don't know whether you've experienced both, but is it easier for you to teach, you know, single sex or mixed sex schools or classes?
I've taught in all three environments. My whole schooling was mixed school, like mixed primary, mixed secondary, and obviously mixed third level. My first couple of years teaching, I was in mixed schools and girls' schools, and then I went to a boys' school. And like probably some people listening, they would have thought, oh, boys' school, that's not right. Having boys together is not good for their development and stuff like that. So, you know, the typical criticisms you hear about single sex. And now that I'm in it, it was a very challenging first year or two. But now that I'm in it and I'm teaching there solidly, I absolutely love it. Boys, once boys accept you, once boys have earned your respect, they will back you and word passes on. But the counterpoint to that is if boys don't respect you, they
You're
will
doomed.
Make your life tough.
Oh, no, I know. I remember from school those, some of the teachers that we had no time for whatsoever, and we made their life miserable. But there were other teachers that we actually loved, and they actually, well, it turns out in those subjects I did better in the Leaving Cert because we actually respected the teacher, we respected and we valued their assistance. So just getting back to what the Labour Party and what Fine Gael are trying to do and Patrick O'Donovan, you know, is this a real threat then, do you believe, that we eradicate completely, and that's their attempt? They want to eradicate single-sex schools completely. Is this a huge problem then?
Before we go back to answer that, there's one point I'd like to raise, and it's something that's only come to light in the last couple of years, is teacher bias. So do you remember during COVID when teachers had to grade their own students?
Yeah.
And what the State Exams Commission, and they've published this, what they have found is that when teachers graded their own students, the overgraded girls and the undergraded boys, because boys are probably more likely to be slightly challenging behavior-wise throughout their time in school, while girls in general, not always, but in general,
are more cooperative.
Are more cooperative. So there, another reason for a strength of single-sex schools is what you're doing is you're showing teachers, if there's girls in the class, because girls are nicer and more cooperative, you're generally going to have a more positive view on them, while boys who are a bit more boisterous, you have a negative view on them. So removing, and this was only found out because of COVID. So we now know that teachers have a subconscious bias towards girls in the education setting and against boys.
Oh, by the way, in relation to that, just before we come to that last question in relation to what they're going to do in the future, you know, this idea that more bullying happens in single-sex girls' schools rather than mixed schools. I mean, what is the reason for that? Because I've heard that from so many people, you know, that they wouldn't put their girls into a single-sex girls' school because there's a lot of bullying. What is the reason behind that?
Well, again, what I find is boys, you will have a fight with a boy. You'll have an argument with him. You'll blow, you'll shout at each other. But the following day, or definitely a day or two later, generally you will move on. And
your mates again.
You'll forgive and forget. Boys are really good at that. Girls, again, from what we've read, is girls don't really resort as much to physical violence, but they resort, again, this is not me saying this, this is studies have shown, they resort to kind of, they whisper behind your back, they spread false stories, they gossip. So, and that type of stuff is much harder to pin down. You can see a fight, and if you see two young lads fighting, you can tackle it straight away. Boys aren't probably as sharp. Boys bullying online can be tracked and screenshots and catch everything. But girls bullying who resort to, you know, rumors and gossip and things like that, which happens, and maybe some of your female callers will come in and confirm or deny this. But in my opinion, that takes an awful lot longer to catch. And it goes on for much, much longer. And it's more a psychological type of bullying than actual physical bullying. And it's equally as horrible on the child who's being bullied, but it's a different form. So that's probably why in girls' schools, you might have more instances of bullying, because when a rumor mill takes hold against somebody, there's a number of people involved, and that's probably the type of bullying.
And nowadays, of course, with social media and WhatsApp groups, that sort of stuff gets worse because people get eliminated from the groups and all that kind of stuff. There seems to be a lot more drama when it comes to girls, I suppose, is the point you're trying to make, which is harder to resolve. As you rightly said, I remember my last fight in school, my only ever fight in my life, was 13 years of age down the lane with a fella called Connor Malone, who turned out to be my best friend, by the way. And I don't know why they pitted us against each other, but it was fui, fui, fui down the lane. It lasted 5 minutes. He won, by the way. I started crying. But you're right. But the following day, you know, I was in his house and we were mates again. Where boys do tend to resolve things, whereas that drama, I suppose, and that kind of psychological bullying can last longer and doesn't get resolved as easily.
It's smarter bullying. It's like it takes more higher order thinking to get involved. And this comes back to the maturity I was talking about. Because girls are more verbal and they read more and they're better at thinking and they're more mature, that kind of bullying is a smarter type of bullying. That sounds bad, but it is. It's a more intelligent type of bullying, while the physical violence that men get stuck into is kind of more Neanderthal type of actions, if you know what I mean.
Boys couldn't be bothered with the effort of that kind of bullying. Anyway, listen, in relation to where we're going from here, obviously, Éanor Éireann, well, mind you, he's out of the picture now, he's in Europe. But the Labour Party certainly are pushing this, Ivana Bacik, and also, obviously, Fine Gael with Patrick O'Donovan. They want this, you know, obviously in the next few years, and they want to eliminate single-sex schools. Do you think that's a dangerous path to go down?
Oh, I do. Look, from an economic point of view, singles, it's cheaper. Single-sex schools are funded less than state-run mixed schools. So again, from a teaching point of view, I have to teach more in my single-sex school than I would if I'd have my equivalent job in the state-run school. We're looking at things like the cost, pastoral care. The state, if you're in a state school, they would provide a pastoral care person. If you're in a single-sex voluntary secondary school, it has to come from your whoever you're in charge of, your patroness. And it's the same instead of secretary assistants, so there's tons more. So 80% of funding, the state pays for 80% of funding for single-sex schools, voluntary secondary schools. It pays for 95% of funding for state-run mixed schools. So does that element around?
Okay.
But the way the Labour Party are trying to remove single-sex schools is very, very sneaky. What they're doing is they're saying, we are not going to close single-sex schools, but we are going to stop funding you, which is, in effect, closing it. And what is concerning
And you're of the belief as well is it's based on what essentially you believe is a lie, that it's incorrect to link violence, aggression, and single-sex boys' schools in particular.
We know very well that the so-called progressive left parties, the Social Democrats, the Labour, the Greens, they would shut single-sex schools tomorrow if they could. But up until now, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have been quite sensible on the benefits of single-sex schools. They've been kind of along the lines of let parents just make their own choice. Now, that is why I'm very concerned with what Patrick O'Donovan said. Patrick O'Donovan is no longer saying let parents make a choice. He's saying let's look to closing them.
Okay.
And I'm concerned about that.
Before you go, Eric, obviously you were out for the local elections, unfortunately unsuccessful. Will you be contesting the general election? Because we don't know when it's going to happen, but the prediction is probably end of October. So will you be contesting the general election for AIM2 this year?
I will not be contesting it. My party colleague, Sarah Beasley, was elected as a councillor in Limerick City North. She made it in. She was the fourth candidate elected. So she will be representing the party, and she actually has a really strong chance. I'm not sure if you or your listeners are aware, there was a mayoral election in Limerick in June as well, and AIM2 came fourth out of the political parties. So AIM2, we finished ahead of Green Party, Labour, Social Democrats, People for Profit, and all those smaller socialists and things like that. So we came fourth. So we think we have a great chance of getting that fourth seat in Limerick, because look at the Limerick TDs. Maurice Quinlivan did not do himself justice in the mayoral election. He came across very poorly. Willie O'Dea, his peak was 20 years ago, and Kieran O'Donnell is not a high-performing minister. So the standard of TDs in Limerick City is not very high. So we think we have a good chance of getting that fourth seat if transfers work our way. So I won't be contesting, but my colleague, Sarah Beasley, who is an excellent councillor and an excellent party colleague, she will be, and I will be her director of elections. So I'll be involved in it, but not with my name on the poster.
Listen, Eric, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate you coming to talk to us today on the air. There you go. Eric Nelligan, spokesperson for AIM2 and also a school teacher as well, talking about single-sex and same-sex schools. I want to know what your opinion is, by the way. You can text or WhatsApp on 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Now, let me go to some of our calls if I can. Let me go to John first. Hold on, I just put this on the screen here. John, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, how are you?
I'm good, John. So, John, I mean, look, we're all used to same-sex schools because when we were kids, John, that's all there was really, was same-sex schools, boys and girls, national schools, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, times have changed. I can see the advantage of mixed schools, but I can also see the disadvantage too.
Well, first of all, I would publicly call on the so-called Minister for Higher Education, because it's only a so-called minister who would make such a ridiculous, demeaning statement like, they have made, right? Because if you were a fully-fledged minister on top of your brief, you wouldn't make such an idiotic...
Well, can I point out, we did give him the opportunity to come on. Unfortunately, his PA got back to us, and he's out of the country at the moment on holidays, so he obviously just dropped this into the Irish Examiner and then said, I'm off on holidays. So, unfortunately, he's not available.
whether they're on holidays or whether they're here in situ, like, I mean, the passive won't come on anyway, so that's a given anyway. Now, the thing is, I think I will be calling in a public apology, you know, for this ridiculous, insulting, demeaning, you know, aggressive statement. We talk about aggression and linking it. How dare any minister, right, or any politician link male aggression, because that's what we're talking about here, male aggression, right, in society. And we're putting it at the door of single-sex schools, boys' schools, but only boys and not a mixed school, right? Now, some of the high-paying schools here, boys' schools in Cork here, like Christians and Pres, they're single-sex male, and they will remain so, because there's no appetite for changing that, like other schools here in Cork and right around the country. No, there was an argument as regards, no, because my former partner, her daughter went to a single-sex school for all girls, no boys. And she preferred it that way. Her friends preferred it that way, that their daughters were going there as well now, because they felt that the boys would be a distraction. And there has been studies done that girls do better academically, right, study-wise, when there's no distraction. And of course,
well, by the way, the studies show, by the way, not just girls, by the way, both in the United Kingdom and Australia, where they've done research in relation to this. Only last year in the UK, in 2017, a study in Australian Council of Education Research, they found that both boys and girls perform better, particularly in reading and numeracy, when they're in single-sex schools. That's just. But hang on. You also got to then look at the advantages of mixed-sex schools. So, John, you can't deny there is an advantage. There's an advantage to single-sex schools. Am I having a go at them, right? I went to a single-sex school, but to both primary and secondary. Yeah. But there's also disadvantages. And I don't disagree with what the minister says, that your first interaction then with girls, you know, in such close connection, will be when you go to university, if you haven't already gone to a mixed-sex school. And mind you, you still meet girls out on the streets, and you still meet them around. It's not like you've never seen a girl in your life.
Well, you see, again, there's two ways of looking at it. Again, as I say, the academic side, that they knuckle down better and they study better, like, when there's no distraction, like either boy, girl, or boy, school, whichever you're going. But the thing is, socially, possibly, it's, as a mix, it's probably better because they're interacting at a younger age with the different sexes, right? But as a girl, like the last time I looked, like when you went to school, it's for to learn, right? Not to be distracted, right? But I mean, to link gender violence, like in society, with single-sex schools, and basically you're pointing the finger at the male single-sex schools, is an outrageous thing.
Well, I have to say, I'm very interested in the figures that Eric had there, where he said that Ireland has the highest number of single-sex schools in the European Union, or one of the second highest next to Malta. And we have the lowest rate of gender-based violence. Other words, that kind of clearly points to the fact that that actually couldn't be true. There is no link between the two. But the minister said, but the only thing I will say is, you know, when you hear boys say going to Blackrock College or, you know, Mary's or, you know, the kind of D4 colleges, the single-sex colleges, you know, they tend to be a bit more rough and tumble, and they're a little bit more, I suppose, misogynistic in their attitude. We saw that as out, you know, the Belfast rape trial and those WhatsApp group messages. Now, don't get me wrong, I know boys can be boys and locker room talk happens. I get that. But do you think that boys can be a little bit more within themselves? I'm not saying towards women, but a bit more aggressive when they're in single-sex schools, because they've got to have to stand out from the crowd.
Well, it's called testosterone, you know what I mean? Let's be honest, it's there. I mean, it's part of growing up, it's part of being a young man, you know what I mean? But the fact is, like, there is no clamour. There was a big controversy, and there still is, about the sex education that's going into schools against the will of the people. And a lot of parents have been on your show now saying that they're going to take their children out of those classes. They're not having hand after part in it. So I don't see any clamour, like, by parents petitioning the governors of the school or the ministers themselves, so-called ministers, saying that they want to get rid of same-sex schools, that they want it mixed up completely. I don't see that campaign starting.
Hold on a second. Let me just go to Nuala as well. Nuala, hi, how are you?
Not too bad, no.
Good.
But, I mean, where's the evidence for that? Like, I know in the past, like, you know, there'd be a lot of people, you know, they would have left school early, and they would have got into lots of trouble, and there'd be aggressiveness or something like that. And the guards would know exactly which house to go to, what area to go to, and what family to go to. you know, it's something as simple as that.
But I mean, the minister is clearly linking single sex schools, particularly boys' schools, I suppose, with, you know, gender based violence.
Well, I don't think there's any evidence. I mean, take all your judiciary, take all your solicitors and barristers and all the rest. Most of these, I'd say 90% of them, have gone to one sex school.
Single sex schools.
You know, schools.
Yeah, private schools. Yeah.
And all the rest. You know, there's no evidence that they are more aggressive than.
I don't know where he's getting the figures from. I don't know where this evidence is coming from.
I think it's kind of a silliness. It's probably the silly season, maybe that's what it is. But you can see, though, that the more ability a person has to express themselves, and maybe the longer they stay in school, they can express themselves better, which can be aggressive through writing or through the way they speak and the way they downgrade other people. They mightn't hit them, but they can take their reputation with the stroke of a pen. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's the...
Do you think there's a disadvantage to mixed schools? I mean, I'm not disagreeing with the minister on the fact that, you know, I think mixed schools are probably better in a sense that, and even John agrees, that at least kids are kind of used to, you know, working with members of the opposite sex. You know, I don't agree with the aggression part, by the way. I think it's nonsense. I think it's bullshit, actually. I don't know why the minister threw that in there and then disappeared on holidays and wouldn't even answer the questions. But anyway, I mean, in relation to, you know, just the advantages, is it an advantage? Academically, it clearly isn't, because the studies show that single-sex schools perform better. But from a social point of view, is it an advantage to be in a mixed-sex school?
I don't know. You see, I'm just in prison. And I remember when we finished school at about 4 o'clock with all the girls from the girls' school. We all hang up around the town in Woolworth and different places. And then the guys from the other schools would come around and they would be hanging around. You know, it's not like that you're stuck in that spot.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, it's not like you're never going to see a boy.
You live in a family.
Yeah.
You live in a family and you're mixing with the lads and you go to kind of some sort of social occasions like that would be on, or go to matches or things like that. And the people do mix. It's not like that you're in a prison and that you're suddenly let out at 18 and you're going to kind of go over the top or go crazy. Like, no, it's not like that. It's maybe, you see, I don't know, I might say the likes of Elvana Betzek, she probably went to a paid school. I don't know now.
Maybe.
But some of the others that went to Alexandra College and all this.
But mind you, I've heard the socialist parties agreeing with this. And if you look at, say, People Before Profit or any of those, most of those socialist parties, most of them have all been to private schools. They're kind of champagne socialists.
Why would you take any notice of what they say?
Well, this is true. This is fairly true. But I mean, but in saying that, they're all kind of, as I said already, they're champagne socialists. They're not real socialists. Yeah. They're just pretend socialists. Go ahead, John.
This thing, mixing up people together at a young age, whatever, that's far against that, right? But the whole thing about it, at the end of the day, you can have mixed schools, right? People go out and they go on to college, they mix. But at the end of the day, the real lesson in life, when male and female interact, is when you close that door and when you decide to live together, be married or partners, whatever, that's when the lesson really begins.
Stay there, both of you. Let me go to Lorenzo as well. Lorenzo, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. All good. How are you?
Good. Now, in Italy, is it mainly mixed schools or same-sex schools? Or
It's all mixed. I think since the probably 70s or 80s or 60s, there is no single-sex school. They're all mixed.
Oh, okay. And God, I would have imagined, because of my Christian background, that wouldn't have happened. But there you go. Okay, so Ireland still has one of the highest rates of single-sex schools. Do you think that's a bad thing?
I think so. I mean, it's kind of scary for us thinking that once our son is going to be the good age for school, we are going to have to basically fight to get to a mixed-sex school. And the kind of funny and kind of sad thing is just, as you just said, We live in Tullamore and there is only one mixed-sex school. And when we were saying to our friends that we wanted to go there, the answer was, but that is for foreigners, not for Irish.
Oh, okay.
I was like,
yeah.
That's the whole point. I mean, it's crazy that somebody say, but that's not for Irish, that's for foreigners. And like, firstly, yes, we are Italian, so technically we are not Irish. And that is in line with your statement. And again, it's crazy to think that we are seen as strange for wanted to go to a mixed sex school instead of a single.
The main problem with this article in the Irish Examiner that everybody has taken issue with over the last 24 hours is that the minister has linked single-sex schools to aggression and gender-based violence, pointing out that the first time, you know, if you send your kids to single-sex schools, the first time they'll interact properly with women, you know, is in university, and they haven't learned to cooperate with, you know, the opposite sex. So we've lost them there. But Nuala, you can answer that. Nuala, in relation to, you know, this idea that there's some sort of aggression in single-sex schools, do you think there is?
Well, not that I know of. I mean, I just remember, like, when going to school, like, that those who maybe have at the time, because you had to pay to go to secondary school, that they would have left school earlier and they would have got maybe 13, 14, 15 more, like and different things like that. And maybe the only way they could express themselves was, you know, when you feel somebody, like, say, I myself would have a temper, naturally.
No, you don't say.
And my father would. I know I have. And I know my father had. And I know my grandmother and his mother had. And, you know that's there. And I think you can't, nature is there. And you kind of have to learn to know your own nature. It's nothing to do with other people. And this idea of, this is the reason and that's the reason. No, some people are very calm and temperamental. I have one niece and, God, the whole house would fall down and she'd still be relaxed with her two kids.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, holy Moses, I would go insane. Where she, you know, like, they don't seem to know psychology at all or proper psychology.
Well, hang on, Lorenzo's kind of back there. Lorenzo, sorry, just the question I was asking you there. You know, the minister has linked, you know, gender-based violence and aggression to boys in same-sex schools. Do you think that's the case? That because they don't get to interact with girls until they get to university, that somehow they have a problem working with girls?
I think that with a mix, you basically hopefully get the best from both sex. So socially and academically, you improve. Instead of getting boys and girls to basically grow up in a bubble, and then suddenly they're all mixed and they have no idea, or they think to know how to interact with each other. So, I don't think, honestly, as you were saying, I agree with you in terms of, I don't think that the mixed or the single-sex school perform differently in terms of gender socialization with LGBTQ and those things. Like, I think that it's mostly socially and academically. I don't think that the hate comes from mixed or not mixed. But definitely, if you have 10 guys, they will socially perform differently than five guys and five girls.
I get you. Yeah, no, okay.
You basically have a pack instead of a mix.
I get, and by the way, what Eric was saying earlier on too, I completely agree with in relation to boys. You know, girls' schools tend to have more bullying because boys bully differently to girls. You know, if your boys are bullying each other, you can recognise it and it kind of stops the next day usually and they're talking to each other again. But stay there for a second. Let me go to Karen as well. Karen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. The Minister for Minister for Higher Education, wants to eradicate, as does the Labour Party, single-sex schools because they believe there's some sort of link with aggression and gender-based violence. Is that acceptable?
What the greatest load of nonsense. And I think it's to count further the point that the gentleman said there at the beginning. You know, this is an insult and he should apologise for those remarks. Mm. There's no data whatsoever that links this sort of material, you know, with same-sex schools. And again, this comes back to the thing of parents again. Why are we being then, we're going to take away our choices. There should be choices there. If you have a boy and you want to send him to same-sex school or a girl, whichever, that's your choice as a parent.
Yeah.
So now it's a nanny state again. The state is intervening again and now telling us how our children should be educated. Stay the hell out of our lives. It's none of your business. And what I was just reading down to one of the articles, it said, like you just mentioned there, basically, I think it's time to come in. that from time to time you come into junior infants, even in preschool, the concept of young boys understanding that no means no is a really important thing. Well, guess what, Minister? That starts at home with mammy and daddy. Mm. And particularly with daddy enforcing that. We don't need to send our school, we don't need to send our children to school for that. That education begins and nurture begins at home with our parents. But now we're giving another example of the state encroaching again and taking over again and they deciding again. And I just, forgive my conspiratorial mind here, but I think this plays into a wider agenda, because the whole trans ideology coming down the road where girls can be boys and boys can be girls and there's no difference then, that's one aspect of it as well. But also then as well, they want to eliminate religion. They want God gone out of the classroom. So if you eliminate then the same-sex schools, this is one way to further that agenda. And that's all part
okay,
of it.
They
may not say it out loud, but okay. That is one aspect of I feel myself personally.
I mean, in this particular instance, I understand the point that you're making, by the way, and I agree thoroughly with a lot of what you're saying there. But, you know, in this particular instance, Ireland would be quite unique in a sense that, you know, we have more single-sex schools per head of population than probably any other country in Europe. So we've held on to that tradition. Whereas other countries, like Lorenzo mentioned a few minutes ago, Italy, don't have same-sex schools. They're all mixed schools. The UK are practically all mixed schools now as well. When you go across Europe, you'll see it's all mixed schools. We're holding on to, you know, whatever it is. I think it's 33% of our schools are still single-sex schools. I mean, that's, you know, I suppose times are changing. And the idea is not to separate boys and girls. It's to put them together so they're used to working together.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if you look at all these, for example, let's take boys, because, you know, obviously they hate boys anyway, especially white boys.
They hate boys.
You want to emasculate them and dumb them down, take away the testosterone. They want boys now in girls' dresses. That's what, it's disgusting behaviour.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I've lost my train of thought there.
No, I was saying to you that other countries have done it, so why not Ireland? Because most countries, as I said, have moved away from the single-sex school model.
Well, I mean, you could make the argument if boys at the same-sex schools are performing less. They're not performing less. And also, as well, if you take the example of boys...
Same-sex schools, according to research everywhere, single-sex schools perform better than mixed schools. That's a fact, by the way.
Yeah, first of all, if you look at boys, just take boys as an example. There's a great chance that boys have siblings. They have sisters. Mm. They have aunties. They have a mother. They're used to females. Outside, it's not as if they've been alienated from women and girls. They're not. They're used to them at home. And then their cousins and everything else. So I don't see the point of taking away this from the parents' choice. That's what it all comes down to. It's parents' choice. And if you want to send, like, for example, I had my older daughter. She went to a mixed school, secondary school, and she was bullied. And it was disgusting what happened. And like those old girls are so bitchy. And I do agree that boys will move on. They'll go out the back of the school, drop the school bags, they'll punch each other for 5 minutes, and then they'll walk home and they'll be best mates the following day. But girls are different.
Yeah.
Girls are very different.
Girls, that kind of psychological bullying goes on for months. Yeah, I know.
Girls are very, very bitchy, and girls are very, very, they're governed by emotions big time anyway, and they're very, very jealous of each other. And my daughter was bullied in secondary school. She went to a mixed school. Now, at the time, I remember saying, like, if I said my other daughter, now logistically I had to change, so now my younger daughter is now in a same-sex school, and everything is fine. There's no problems. Is there bullying going on? Yes, there is bullying going on. But I found that no matter where, I've experienced both, and the bullying goes on in both schools. It doesn't matter whether same-sex or mixed, it still goes on.
Yeah, but listening to what Eric had to say in relation to bullying and girls versus boys, he is 100% right. You know, girls will do this whole psychological thing where they'll isolate another girl or, you know, oh, we're not talking to her as a group.
My daughter's experience. She was completely isolated. And any time then she tried to make friends, they came along then and they ensured that any new friendship she'd try and make, they came along and they intervened and...
They poison her.
Absolutely, yeah. And that was the pattern.
Boys don't do that. I tell you why boys don't do that, because they couldn't be bothered. They're not clever enough to do it, so that's why.
No, well, yeah, girls are more devious. There's no question about that.
Well, hang on. Say there was. Let me just bring Tara in and move away from the bullying slightly if I can. Tara, you know, the minister's come under fire for even suggesting that there's a link between aggression in boys and gender-based violence and single-sex schools. Do you agree with the minister or do you disagree? Do you think it's an outrageous statement?
It is an outrageous statement. I mean, there's a variety of factors that will contribute to gender violence and aggression, but I think your academic circle is bottom of the list of those factors. Like, regardless of who you hang around with, it's ultimately the way our mindset is wired, and there's so many different factors that contribute to that. Plenty of lads are in those ultra-masculine rugby schools and they have the banter and they're not aggressive towards women. But when Patrick O'Donovan referenced gender-related aggression, I took it to mean that he didn't want people challenging the woke, trans and non-binary ideology. Because to be honest, the only, and I don't mean to go off topic here, but the only gender-related aggression I've ever witnessed has been from those who don't know what they are towards people who do know what they are. And they'll call themselves non-binary, whatnot, and they expect everyone else to just know that. And they get angry when their delusions are not pandered to or automatically detected. So I get the impression that people, the anger is coming from, there is an increase in anger, but it's because people are pissed off because these woke people expect those of us with common sense to just accept and tolerate being shouted at, bullied and slandered, be it online or in person, because we have the gall to reference a man as he or him or a woman as she or her. And it really angers me as well, actually, that Patrick Donovan wants money to create awareness of this violence and aggression. Because you know full well this campaign...
Yeah, he said on top of this, he'll be seeking further funding towards awareness and prevention of gender-based violence on third... Now, that's on third-level campuses. Yeah.
Yeah, but that, like, you know full well that campaign will not be balanced. It will be designed to try and silence those of us with common sense. We'll be shamed and vilified for questioning things like why that student is crawling into the lecture hall on all fours, dressed as a cat and meowing. And that actually happened in a primary school in Galway.
Oh, I know.
And from what I can gather, the school was very much pandering to the fucking child cat. It's ridiculous. I think it's, I mean, that was what I understood.
The worst one of those I've seen was, I think it was in America, and there was a child in college who identified as a planet. And wanted to be called Lunar, I think, or something like that. I can't remember what it was.
Jeez.
But wanted to be identified and called a planet. And the professor or whoever it was refused to do it, and he lost his job.
Oh my God. Yeah, I wasn't aware of that, though. That's ridiculous.
A planet. Not even a cat or a dog. That's bad enough. A planet. Identify as a planet.
Right.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
By the way, can I just say, completely out of context to what we're talking conversation here, when I'm on Twitter, and I see somebody in their bio has he, she, or her, or whatever the hell, they have their pronouns, it immediately turns me off the person. I immediately you immediately say, this person's going to be trouble. You just know they're going to be. They're arseholes. You don't need to announce, like, you don't walk into a room and go, hi, I'm a woman, or hi, I'm a man. You don't announce your gender when you walk into a room. So why would you announce it online? I mean, I can see your picture.
Exactly.
I know what you are. And I don't care, really.
Exactly. You're walking on eggshells, and that's creating an anger. And, you know, just there's a lot of people who refuse to accept that the world is not obligated to applaud their, you know, delusions. And rather than pay a therapist, they take it out on those around them or anyone who's challenging them.
I know. If you're not willing to play let's pretend with them, you're in trouble, aren't you, really?
Yeah. I mean, a person can identify however they wish, and I respect that. But they too need to respect those of us who identify as believers in basic biology. So I would say, you know, there is an increase in gender-related aggression in schools in terms of the ideology. But from what I can see, it's primarily coming from the side of the so-called woke. So if he wants funding for a campaign, then the campaign better be balanced and not directed towards trying to silence those of us who question and challenge things.
Stay there for a second. Let me go to Angela, who identifies as a single woman from Clare. Angela, hi, how are you?
Hi, as good as I definitely do identify as a single woman from Clare who has two dogs.
Dog lover from Clare. Identifies as dog lover.
Dog lover. Yeah.
Angela, okay, getting back to, okay, mixed sex versus same-sex schools. I mean, I went to same-sex school. I didn't turn out to be some sort of raving misogynistic head case, although people might argue.
I'm going to just say, we need to have a chat now. But no, I didn't turn out like that either. And I know most of my friends didn't turn out like that either.
And I've never hit anybody apart from Conor Malone when I was 13. I never hit anybody in my life.
No, I did. I slapped
him. Oh, Angela.
He deserved that.
Tut.
But no, he did. He deserved it. One little slap, Jesus Christ. But it's really annoying because women are bitches. You know, women are bitches, and you can't compare bullying with men to bullying with women.
No, it is very different. Yeah.
Oh, it is. Like, we are devious.
But men are more. But I know women can be bitches, as you rightly said, by times. But men can be very aggressive as well. Men are more aggressive than women. Women silently do it and psychologically do it to each other in school, whereas men do it physically. So which can be very harmful too. So, you know, he gets a hiding behind the bike sheds or whatever, you know.
Although when you look at it now lately, actually, Niall, there are a lot of aggressive women out there as well.
Mm.
You know, not women, like girls. And you know, when you do see the videos. But
yeah.
I don't think that's got anything to do with the type of school they go to.
It's their upbringing.
You know, it's. I wouldn't even say that. I think it's peer.
Okay.
I think it's definitely a peer thing.
Okay, but you believe that mixed schools are better than single-sex schools anyway?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely.
Why? You know, but why? What's the problem with single-sex schools? Why would you prefer a mixed school?
Because single-sex schools, like, you're going, when you're finished school, you're going out into the world. And you're going from school, let's say into college, where you're not used to going, you know,
interacting with girls.
But
Cara makes a good point, and so does Tara. You know, that you have sisters, you have a mother, you have friends. You know, it's not. I mean, school is only a third of your life during the day. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, you'll interact with girls in other places.
It's more than that. It's actually more than that. It's not a third of the day. Well, okay, you're asleep for one third. But, like, you're not with your sister and your parents as much as you're with your classmates.
Mm.
You know, when you do look at it, you're with them longer during the school period. And next, suddenly, let's say I'm in secondary school and it's a private school or a boarding school and it's all girls. And next I'm out in the world going, oh, hold on a second, I have to sit next to a boy and I don't know how to... A lot of girls would know how to interact with them or talk to them. Because as we say now, sure, all they're doing is sitting on their phones anyway.
Yeah, but you're
so... Well, that also is the case. Is that also, like, speaking about social media, I mean, years ago, 20 years ago, you know, 30 years ago, when pupils would go home from school, they'd be going home then to their local village or town, whatever it is. But now today, kids are on the phones 24/7, and they have access. Girls have access to boys 24/7. Boys have access to girls 24/7 under social media, Snapchat, Instagram, or you name it, all the various social media apps out there.
That's still.
But I mean, the end of the day, I think this idea where isolating boys in an environment for in secondary school, and all of a sudden then they reach 18 years of age, they're going on to become a tradesman or into university, and all of a sudden then they're confronted with a woman and they can't, they don't know what to do. I think that's just nonsense. I think it's nonsense. Because you've got a mother, you have a grandmother, grandmothers, you have aunties, you have siblings, you have neighbours.
That's totally
It doesn't
different.
Matter, they still have interaction with them.
Matter.
And if any boy wants to really know women, he'll have siblings, he'll have sisters. And that's the best place for a woman, for a man ever to go.
No, hang on, Angela. I get what Karen is saying because, you know...
He has a mother.
Lads, by the time they get to about 12 or 13, right, the testosterone starts milling around their bodies, right? Now, when I was in school, obviously, we didn't have any girls. We had one female school teacher and she was a minger. I'm not going to lie to you, right? But every time we saw her, we got all excited because it was the only sight of a woman that we would see in the whole day. And we were young boys with testosterone running around us.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly my point. And saying
what I'm saying is it didn't do me any harm. It didn't do me any harm.
No, but the thing is, saying that having a mother and a sister is the same thing to going out and sit next to a complete stranger. That's bullshit. You live with your sister. You live with your mother. You live with all of them. Of course you know how to talk to them. But if you're inside in a boys' school the whole time and you're going out, you don't know how to interact with girls. And interacting with girls online is totally different to standing in front of one.
Yeah, well, we didn't have the online thing. Tara, what about the sexual oppression? Really? Oh, well, hang on. Let me go to Tara for a second. Tara, sorry, just a second. I want to come to Steve too. What about the sexual oppression end of it? You know, that sexually, and we do know that, you know, males and females interact sexually. I don't mean physically sexually, but you understand what I'm saying? Being attracted to each other, et cetera, and getting excited and all that. So the first time boys and girls get to experience that is in college if they don't go to schools. Is that a fair point?
Yeah, well, I suppose it is. I mean, but at the same time, a guy is still going to, I mean, regardless of whether he's gone to a mixed school or a single-sex school, if he's, like, chatting to a girl that he has a crush on, he's still going to be extremely nervous and probably not know what to say. So I don't know if the schooling has, because, I mean, I went to an all-girls primary school,
and I went to a mixed secondary school. And I do think I probably would have benefited more had I gone to a mixed primary school. But then, looking back, I just think, well, you know what? If you're chatting to a guy that you really like, you're still going to behave the exact same way. You're going to be nervous. You're not going to know what to say. So I don't think, really, realistically, I don't think it really matters. If you've gone to a single-sex school or a mixed school, you're going to behave the same way, regardless, if you're chatting to someone that you really like.
Okay, well, say that. Let me go to Steve as well. Steve, hi, how are you?
How are you, Niall? So let's get this clear. This is just another attack on men, because men are a soft target and they don't have a victim card. Because what the minister is actually saying, he said gender-based violence. He doesn't mean men are being attacked.
He means men attacking women. That's what every time we say the word gender-based violence, it's assumed wrongly that it's men attacking women. Because can I point out, 4 in every 9 cases of gender-based violence is actually either men against men or women against men.
Okay, but when he says gender-based violence, we all know what he means. He means that there's a bunch of men out there baiting the shite out of women. That's what he's talking about. Mm. And that's the impression that everybody gives off. Now, just let's get this clear as well. When you look at gender-based violence, I've asked you this question before. You've been in nightclubs, you've been in takeaways, you know, when the drink is taken. How many times have you seen, Niall, personally, a woman being attacked by a man?
I have seen more, in my 30 years of working in nightclubs, I've seen more fights with women than I have men. And to be honest with you, the fights that men are usually having with each other are usually because of a woman.
Forget about the same sex ones just for a second here.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen a man hit a woman?
Very rarely.
Okay, how many times have you seen a woman hit a man?
On a regular basis.
Very regular basis. This is how ingrained it is in our society that women, there's no stats. I was just looking up there to see what the stats of gender-based violence for men. When I typed in gender-based violence, it was, this is the stats on women, this is the stats on women, this is the stats on women. Nothing about men whatsoever.
But it's not just the physical violence, it's psychological, because we look at society and we did the social experiment with Robbie Kane, a reporter many years ago on the radio, where we had Robbie walk down the road with his pretend girlfriend, actor, and he went to hit her, right? In other words, he pushed her, started shouting at her, giving out to her about how much money she spent. Within seconds, 3 security guards from 3 different shops come over and grabbed him, right? We did the same experiment the other way around, and we said to her, right, you start slapping him across the back of the head, giving out to him about some guard he had his eye on or something like that. He's shouting at him, right? They walked from one end of Grafton Street to the other with her hitting him, and nobody intervened. Actually, quite the opposite. People were laughing. It was only when they got down to the end of Grafton Street that a guard actually came over, a female guard came over and told her to stop. In other words, it's a completely acceptable. And it's not just the physical violence. In relationships,
it's the mental violence.
It's in relationships, it's acceptable for women to speak to men in a certain tone, whereas if a man spoke to his wife or his girlfriend in that tone, the relationship would be over.
Niall, that this is just an attack on men. That's what this is. And I'm getting pretty tired of it. Because when violence towards men is so ingrained in society that we laugh at it or that we just shrug it off and it's carte blanche for women to attack men, what does that say about us? What does that say about men? We can't even talk up about it.
Because as you said there, like, I can't believe me and Steve are actually agreeing on things here today. But, like, I gave a prime example. As I said, I did slap my husband the morning after I caught him cheating, right? I did slap him. Long story short, he called the guards for domestic violence, right? Because I slapped him. Well entitled to, blah, blah, blah. Let's get on to the story where when the guards arrived, he did cancel it and say it was a mistake and it was this. When the guards arrived, there was a female guard and a male guard. The female guard took me outside and the male guard spoke to my ex-husband. And the female guard asked me what happened and I said, he pushed me over, I stood up and I slapped him. Because I admitted it, I'm not going to lie and say I didn't, I admitted it, and she said, I'll take him away now. And I said, but I slapped him. She said, but he pushed you first.
Mm.
you know.
Well, can I ask you, can I ask you a question, Angela?
That's a prime example, please.
Angela, can I ask you a question? I think I heard you say earlier that you did hit somebody when you were in school. And I think you said...
No. I said I hit my ex-husband. I slapped him.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Well, okay. Fair enough. Niall, how many times have you been hit in your life?
Me? How many times have I been hit?
Yeah.
I can't remember particularly, but it would have been...
Has it been more women than men?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So again, does that not speak volumes?
Well, I've only ever been in a fight with one bloke in my life. I didn't mention that till I'm blue in the face. I was 13. So that's the only time I've ever been in a fight with a bloke.
Yeah, yeah. But I totally agree, Steve. It's a thing of...
But at the moment a woman hits you in a relationship, you should walk away from that relationship.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Niall. We understand that. But at the end of the day, you look at the services that are in this country. There's one government-funded organisation for men, like a refuge centre. What, there's 244 for women?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, unless you have a victim card, you know, unless these days that you're gay or you're in the LGBT or you're an ethnic minority or a woman... Unless you're one of these, if you're a single white male, you're open to all sorts of abuse.
And come here. Now, just while we're kind of speaking about this, because I was actually going to see if you'd do a topic on it. Like, when you look at that Facebook page, you know, are we dating the same guy? Like, it's disgusting. It's toxic, the things that are put up there. And if that was put up about women... The guards would be all over it.
Oh, yeah, the page would be taken down. I mean, Tara, just in relation to gender-based violence, you heard see what Steve was saying. Do you think men get a raw deal?
Oh, they absolutely do. They really do. And
I'm not saying it doesn't exist, by the way, can I point out, but do you think men get a raw deal? You believe they do?
They do. They really do. And it's. I think I've often, like, I've had arguments with people online about this whole, I know I'm probably going to get into trouble for saying this, but the whole I believe her. Hashtag was doing the rounds.
Oh, no, I know. I've condemned that loads of times. I don't believe anybody.
I was furious about that because, I know a girl and her friend accused two guys of raping them. It was on the front page of a newspaper, and then a year later they had made it up, that they just didn't want to get into trouble for staying out all night with their parents.
I remember that story.
And since then, I listen to evidence. I don't listen to this whole thing of, just believe the victim and not take it to account.
No, I never agreed. That went around during the Me Too movement, that hashtag, I believe her. I never agreed with that hashtag. I mean, everybody should be listened to and supported. But nobody should be believed, because there's always two sides to every story. And everybody should be supported. Everybody should be given support and listened to. Every woman who makes an accusation should be supported and listened to. But then we have to decide, or it's up to the justice system to decide who's telling the truth.
With those two girls, they should have been locked up.
I said the same thing.
Because
they should have been arrested.
Destroyed someone. And I'm the same, Tara. I'm absolutely the same. No, because I'm a woman and I know how devious we can be and I know how bitchy we can be and I know how, you know, nothing like a woman scorned. Nothing like a woman scorned.
Mm.
And it is an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, sorry, Steve, go ahead.
Okay, so what I want to say about the same-sex schools is that I'm all up for same-sex schools, and I tell you why, because as you mentioned earlier, that boys and girls do learn differently. Boys learn linear, girls learn modular. And what's happening now in third level education is boys are dropping out of third level education like flies. And it's ridiculous because they're not prepared for that education. And girls are now being showered with grants. They're being told, you know, go into the STEM field, science, technology, engineering, and math. And they're being told you can do anything, but the boys are not given the same opportunities. It's gone to this stage where, you know, we need to start looking at both genders.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be just concentrating on one, which we seem to have been doing.
Girls do perform better in college exams than boys.
Absolutely. But
now, not much better, by the way, just a small bit better.
But here's the thing, Niall. You look at boisterous behaviour in school, and when you have the vast majority of teachers are female, you know, a lot of women these days want the little boys to behave like little girls, and little boys should be allowed to be little boys. I personally know a child, he was 12 years of age, and he farted in the classroom. And the teacher put him on warning for something like 6 weeks, like a ridiculous number. Then when he was leaving the school one day, you know, remember years ago, Niall, there'd be a plastic bottle on the ground and the lid would be hanging off and you jump in and the lid pops off the end.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that, he done that outside the school and three female teachers backed him into a corner and started screaming and shouting at him that his behaviour was out of control. His mother was then contacted and they said that he needs behaviour therapy and that maybe medication is the truth.
Ah, stop. But this idea of putting kids, particularly boys, it is primarily boys, putting boys on Ritalin. I mean, in my day in school, boys, you know, boys were boys. Boys are rough and tumble. Boys are more aggressive. And by the way, there's nothing we can do. We can do all the training in the world and all the political correctness in the world. There's nothing we can physically do about that. It's to do with our hormones. And, yeah. And the sooner we start realizing that's a physicality of human biology within boys and men, we are different. Just like in relationships, for example, you know, men tend to want sex more than women because it's to do with our physicality, it's to do with hormones, it's to do with the way we feel and what it means to us. Whereas girls can be slightly different. And that doesn't mean there aren't girls out there that are nymphomaniacs, because there are. But what I'm saying is, you know, we are different. But for some reason in society today, we want to pigeonhole boys, or men and women and boys and girls, into the same box and say, and demand you behave the same way.
Absolutely. No, and here's the thing. Here's the thing, Niall. You know, even in third level education now, they're doing sexual consent classes. Young boys are now being told that they're rapists in waiting. Mm. I mean, for Christ's sake, who is that? Who is that?
No, By the way, I don't generally object if it's part of a class, not an essentially another class, right, or a separate class, but as part of relationship studies. That, you know, there's no harm in, you know, talking to both genders about the idea of consent, and you know, no means no, et cetera, et cetera. I don't have a problem with that, Steve, because I think there was a time where. Well, it shouldn't be targeted towards boys. It should be targeted towards both.
Well, you can go online onto YouTube, and there was a lecturer in it was a UK school somewhere, toward level education, and she used the words that boys are potential rapists in waiting.
Oh, yeah, I know.
They're being told nothing good about their gender anymore. They're boisterous, they're crazy, they're potential rapists in waiting. They can be bullied by women, they can be beaten up, they can be singled out by their teachers. It's just gone crazy.
By the way, Tara, in the United States, statistically, would you think that more women are sexually assaulted than men?
Oh, no. Oh, God. You see, because like, if you went to any nightclub, you'll see women who are drunk and they're just like the way they behave is technically, you could say it's sexual assault. So I mean, it's hard to say whether one is more.
Statistically speaking, more men are sexually assaulted than women because of prisons. But here's the thing. You are right. And I remember when I was DJing, I remember one night there was a guy walked past me in front of the DJ box and he had 2 pints of beer and he was pissed. And he had 2 pints of beer in his hand. He was bringing them back to his mates and he was trying to hold the 2 or 3 pints he had in his hand. And it was a hen's party sitting beside me at the DJ box with all their fake Mickeys and all sorts of things, right? And one of them got up, put her hand between his legs and grabbed his testicles from behind, right? And he, holding the points, turned around. They're all laughing and he starts laughing and then continues to walk on his way. Now, can you imagine if you switch the genders?
Oh my God.
He would be in jail. He would be in jail.
Mm. Yeah.
So this double standard is monumental. And I mean monumental. It happened to me, by the way, as well, in the listener party in Limerick. I've mentioned it before. A woman in Limerick came over to me and grabbed me by the testicles and said, "You've some balls on you, Boylan," right? And I was a bit embarrassed, I'm not going to lie to you. But I wasn't going to run to the nearest Garda station.
Let me ask the ladies a question there. So, ladies, how would you feel if you saw a video on YouTube of a man that caught his wife having an affair? He saw her on her phone. And while she was asleep in bed, he walked in with a camera and she was lying there in her underwear and he sprayed lighter fluid on her genital area and lit her on fire. You would be thinking that's outrageous. He needs to go to prison. It's disgusting behaviour. Now, the video that I'm describing is not the. It's actually the reverse.
I've seen the video.
It's on YouTube of a woman lighting a man's genitals on fire when he was asleep because he had an affair. And this woman was lauded, and people saying, "You go, girl! Aren't you amazing? Female power." This woman should be locked up. But the fact of the matter is, there was no complaint made whatsoever.
But sure, look at the very famous story of John Babbitt. You know, I mean, she caught him having an affair. She cut his penis off, drove 5 miles up the road looking for him. The police found it. She threw it out the window of the car. I mean, that turned into like a comedy. It was like hilariously funny. Could you imagine that if we switched that the other way around and a man, I don't know, severed off a woman's breasts? We'd be horrified by the story. We'd immediately want him put in jail, and we'd never want the key. We want the key buried somewhere. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there's an absolute double standard in society when it comes to men and women and the way we're treated.
Dangerous one.
It is. Okay, but say we're kind of venturing off into another topic there. It's an interesting conversation, mind you. Jackie, hi, how are you?
I'm good, and I'm listening to that, and yeah, I agree with a lot of stuff there. I think it's very much one-sided, and it's not equal. Mm. It's not equal at all. It's very much,
okay.
And I know, and I'm sorry I'm venturing off, but I know people who are separated and where the ex has the children, and the torture they put those the guys through to try, you know, where they're trying to go and pick up their kids, or they're trying to, you know, be involved in the children's lives, and the absolute torture they put them through.
I know they did want to make parental alienation illegal last year, but it's very complicated and very difficult to prove. But in relation to what the minister said, that he links same-sex schools with aggression and gender-based violence, I mean, that's a bit of a stretch, isn't it?
I think so. And from someone who was in, a mixed school, you know, right up all through my life, I always thought that was a better system, because you do learn how to deal with girls or females, and you learn to have respect and stuff like that. As in the same sex schools, I really know nothing about it, and I don't know if there are any stats or whatever available to
Eric Nelligan gave the stats earlier on. Ireland has the highest rate of single-sex schools, second highest, really, next to Malta, in the EU. So we are one of the only countries left that still has a lot of same-sex schools, something like 30% or whatever it is. Yet we have the lowest rate of gender-based violence against women.
Femicide.
So that just goes to show you, there isn't a link. This idea that there's some sort of magical link, that for some reason, the idea that you put boys into single-sex schools, they're going to go off and attack women when they get older, it's completely untrue. I mean, look, I went to a single-sex school. I have absolute respect for women.
Mm.
I don't beat women up.
Again,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And again, I can only speak from my experience and that. And again, you can speak from your experience. I know nothing about same-sex schools. All I know is mixed schools, and I always thought it was a great way of, educational-wise and everything got to do with, I thought that it was very good overall, that it's very...
I don't think there's a huge problem. I completely understand. I think it's a matter of choice. You know, whether you want to send your kids to single-sex or same-sex schools, because I think we're all on the same kind of page. But I think the point Tara was making earlier on was, why force it on us? In other words, if you're a parent of a 13-year-old and you're sending them off to secondary school, you know, give them a choice. If they want to send them to a single-sex school, let them. I don't think it does them any... The point is, I don't think it does them any harm.
But, Niall, the acclimation of boys and girls is done societally. It shouldn't be done in school. And like I stated earlier on, you know, that boys and girls learn differently, and the way forward to equalise the education is to have single-sex schools. As Eric Nelligan said to you earlier on, you know, he works with boys now, and it's fantastic. Because when boys are taught in a different way, they will go further in life. You know, and we're not giving the boys the same head start as the girls are getting, because the education system is tilted towards teaching girls.
Is that, Tara, is that a fair point? I mean, that you know, boys learn better in single-sex schools. Because, and Eric clearly pointed out how you teach boys.
Yeah, I would be reluctant. I mean, I can see where he's coming from, but at the same time, I was like, boys will be boys. They're going to, if they have no interest in school to begin with, they're going to be acting the arse regardless of whether the classroom is filled with boys or 50% girls or 50% boys. I mean, like, look, I would never, if I had kids, I would never send my child to, especially if I had a daughter, I would not send her to an all-girls secondary school. If I had a boy, I don't think I would be as, it wouldn't bother me if you went to an all-boys school. But definitely if I had a girl, I would not send her to an all-girls secondary school.
Yeah.
Women, by their nature, as we were saying earlier, they're bitchier than most men. And a secondary school, an all-girls secondary school, would be vicious, especially in this day and age. But with an all-boys secondary school, I think it could probably be the making of them, provided they are mentally able to defend themselves, as in like that, because boys, I imagine, can be vicious in a very different way.
Yeah, but boys don't get involved in all of that. Oh, he's not talking to him, so I'm not talking to him. And it's girls do all of that stuff. Yeah, and Eric is 100% right. Boys have a problem with each other. They go over to the bike sheds, they give each other a punch, and the next day, they're friends again. So I mean,
girls hold grudges. There's never one big fight. It's always a prolonged series of dirty digs, bitches, and general acts of mockery and disdain, and it takes place over years. So that's why I would never send a daughter to an all-girls school.
Mm.
But with a boy, it wouldn't bother me to send him to an all-boys school. It's like this, as I was saying earlier, you know, if the child has an interest in school, he's going to want to learn. He's going to pick up the lessons. But if he doesn't have an interest in school, it's not going to matter whether the school is filled with boys or, you know.
Tara, it does. It absolutely does matter, because if we did have, let's say we did have in this country just either single, we only had single-sex schools, then the curriculum would be geared towards young boys, which would make learning for them easier, and they would have that better chance in life.
Mm.
No, I get that, but at the same time, surely the responsibility is on the teacher to make the to design the class lesson in a way that, and you know, those with the ability to learn, like, and I'm excluding, say, people with maybe ADHD or developmental disabilities. Surely the lesson should be designed in a way that it's easy to understand.
Absolutely,
when you're
but Tara,
it shouldn't
look
be designed towards one gender or another.
Look what teachers do. Like, you go into a classroom and you're almost guaranteed that 25% of the boys are told that they have ADHD. It's not ADHD. It's their boys. That's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, Jackie, just in relation to that ADHD thing, do you think that's been overdiagnosed? I think it is when it comes to boys, to be honest with you. And it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, there has been studies in relation to that.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, 100%. The other word for that can be bold or boisterous or whatever, but suddenly you get the label.
Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, it was just, he's a bit hyper. You know what I mean? And we were happy enough just to know he was a bit hyper. But I mean,
it seems like there's a determination to police behavior. And it's like what the other caller there was saying about the young lads where his mother was brought in and all that sort of thing. Like, there's such, just let boys be boys. Let kids be kids.
But here's the thing, Tara. They've stopped us being boys. I mean, you go into a local park now. They have railings around the trees to stop boys climbing the trees. You know,
oh my God.
Like, you're not allowed to run in the playground. You know, in school anymore. For insurance reasons. I mean, so in other words, you're not allowed to interact with each other the way you used to be able to in the playground for insurance reasons. They've stopped boys being boys.
Yeah.
I mean, boys, when you see a young lad and he's running around like a lunatic, he needs to get it out of his system. It's to do with this is all biological, but we've actually denied biology. Mind you, we're denying biology again, pretending that women can be, or men can be women. But we're denying biology by suggesting that we can keep a boy quiet. Now, some boys are quiet, don't get me wrong, but most are not. Most are quite boisterous.
Well, Niall, you remember, if you have a single-sex school, and let's say you have an all-boys school, I would suggest that it's only male teachers in that school, because there's an awful lot of single mother families out there who need male influence.
Oh, male role models, yeah, of course, yeah. That's another problem we can talk about another day, that in the primary schools in this country now, I think it's now 98% female school teachers.
Which is, where's the equality in that as well?
That's incredible. And there's a multitude of reasons for it, which I won't go into now. I don't have time. But even in secondary schools now, the majority are female school teachers. we need to change that. We need to encourage more men to go into school teaching because children need a balance in life.
Yeah, and this is why men right now, boys, are dropping out of university at a phenomenal rate. You've no idea. It's mostly women who are graduating. It's because the entire education system is tilted and geared towards educating women and not young boys.
All right, well, look, listen, I have to wrap it up. Unfortunately, I've run out of time. Steve, Tara and Jackie, thank you very much indeed. It's been a very interesting conversation today. I hope you found it just as interesting. Don't forget, by the way, as you know, if you're watching us now, you're watching us live on the website. And the reason we're doing that is for two reasons. One, we could not continue after a year and a half to provide the show live for free every day. We just couldn't because it's not financially viable for us to do it. Now, if you don't want to pay and you don't want to support us, that's fine. You can listen to it live or you can listen to it, say, on Spotify or iTunes later on in the day when we upload it. It's free. You don't have to pay. That arsehole or people who go online and say, oh, you know, you're just looking for money. We're not. You can listen to it for free later on when we upload it. You can listen to it for free on the website if you want to, by the way. You can go to the website and listen free. You can just click listen live and you can listen to it for free. There'll be ads playing in the background. We don't put the ads up. Spotify and iTunes and all the other streaming services that we use to stream this, they're the ones who put the ads up. So it's not us that's putting the ads on it. But if you want it ad-free and you want to be able to watch the video and watch the show live every day, you have to go to the website, go to the video live section on the website, and you sign up for €2 a month. Think about it. If you're watching the show every day, and sometimes it's worth watching rather than listening because we have guests on Zoom or whatever it happens to be, John McGurk or whoever comes on a regular basis, and people that come on a regular basis, or politicians or whoever, interesting people. Sometimes it's worth watching rather than just listening to. For €2 for a month, works at about 11 cents per show. Are we worth 11 cents per show? I think we are. You know, and we've been trying for a year and a half, struggling to do the show without charging you to watch it live. And every day we could have up to 20, 30,000 people watching it live every single day, as well as the thousands that download at night, 750,000 viewers per month. And hardly anybody pays. Some people do. A small amount of people subscribe to the website, or they'll give us a donation every now and again, and that helps to pay the bills because this is expensive. It's expensive to do. We have electricity bills. We have website bills. Cost, but it's just for the website alone, it's about £200 a month, not including the maintenance on the website, which also costs money. We've got the electricity bill, the uploading fees, the hosting fees. You've no idea of the cost of doing this. And we don't cover the cost. Every month we have to pay something out of our own pockets. Three of us work on the show. We don't get paid. We love doing it. We love giving you a platform. But you won't support us. RTE got €725 million. Thank you to those who do support us, by the way. But the rest of you watching it on a daily basis, getting entertainment from it and getting to listen to other people's opinions and making a difference. We made a big difference in the referendum by giving an opportunity to Michael McDougall and many others and Sharon Keoghan and all the other interesting people that come on to push the no vote. We made a big difference. But nobody pays for it. Irish people have a problem wanting to pay for something. I don't know what that's all about. I understand money's hard to come by, but €2 a month is not much to ask, is it? So if you want to watch the show live from now on, it's not going to be free on Twitter and it's not going to be free on Facebook anymore. You have to go to our website and you can watch it live. You can listen to it live for free on the website. Listen to it. You can click on listen live, listen to it live for free on the website. We're just trying to drive people to the website. The second reason we're doing it is we're trying to future-proof the show. As you know, Twitter and Facebook have come under fire, particularly Twitter lately, from the EU Digital Treaty. And I think it's only a matter of time before these platforms are taken down in Europe. And when that happens, you won't be able to watch it live there anyway. So we need to get you used to going to the website. We don't want to ever be censored by the EU Digital Treaty, the EU Commissioner, or by Commissioner Mann, the Irish regulator. So that's why we're pushing it towards the website. So please support us, because if you don't support us, we won't be here. Many of you support RTE, you pay your television licence religiously every single year. And as taxpayers, you've just given them 750 million. We don't get a bean of your money. And we struggle to get you to give us anything at all. Yet we provide a show and provide an opportunity for you every single day. So please support us. Go to the website, nileboylan.com. Sign up, €2 a month. If you want to give us $5.99 a month, that means you can watch all the previous episodes. You can get access to our whole library of interviews and stuff that's exclusive that we've never put out, by the way. That's all available on the website. And that also covers you to watch it live as well. Those of you who've already subscribed, you can watch it live. All you got to do is sign in. You don't have to pay another €2. That's fine. If you've already subscribed to the website over the last year, you can watch the show live every single day on the website. So we're not looking for anything extra from anybody. But those of you who have never subscribed, we're only asking you for €2. If you think you can't give us €2, well, then we might as well just turn off the lights. €2 a month. 24 quid a year. Thank you. Listen, I'll tell you what. We'll talk to you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.